Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Doctors change lives every day, but what happens when life changes yours? A single injury, a sudden illness, your career, your income, your future can shift in an instant. The best physicians don't just plan for success, they protect it. At Set for Life Insurance, they believe financial security isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. True owned occupational disability insurance ensures that no matter what happens, your future stays in your hands. Because protecting your income means protecting everything you built. Visit drpodcastnetwork.co/setforlife today. Secure your future before life makes a choice for you.
Hey guys, Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD, the podcast for physician and healthcare entrepreneurs. I've seen the emails. I think one of the biggest topics that I always get is, hey, I want to get into telemedicine. Either they're seeing how medicine is going, and they're hearing more and more through the grapevine. I've had these gentlemen on before, leading the forefront of this telemedicine revolution. They are the founders of All In Remote Physician Academy, also known as AIR Physician Academy. I've got Dr. Sunir Chander and Dr. Takashi Nakamura. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Thanks for having us again, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks. You guys look refreshed. You guys look excited. But I know we've had you guys on before, so if you wouldn't mind just doing a brief intro about each of you. I'll start with Sunir, talk about yourself, and then we'll switch it over to Takashi.
Sure. My name is Sunir Chander. I'm an emergency medicine physician by training, practiced in the Boston area until about the pandemic, and then started working in telemedicine. Since then, I had become licensed across the country in every state and D.C., worked for multiple telemedicine companies as a clinician, as an advisor, as a director, as a medical practice owner. It's been a lot of fun. I've turned into a telemedicine evangelist over the last few years and met Takashi along the way and started AIR Physician Academy just to teach other clinicians about the opportunities available in telemedicine and how to operate in the space in a compliant way, making sure that they're following all the regulations.
Awesome. Awesome. Takashi, introduce yourself to the world here.
Hey, it's Takashi Nakamura here. And I think we introduced ourselves a little bit last time, just as same scenario, emergency doctor, went all in on telemedicine. It's been over 4 years now, quit my brick and mortar over 2 years ago now, found all of the fulfillment and flexibility with telemedicine. So I just went all in, just like Sunir. We started that program, AIR Academy. We finished our third cohort. We're going to go on to our fourth cohort now. I think last time we spoke, we were moving on to our second cohort. So two cohorts later, here we are. It's been so fulfilling. It's been great. We've overfilled every time. We still have a handful of spots left, but we're looking forward to that. I think our passion has been really teaching other physicians how to do things the way we do it. And it's been so good. We also started a staffing company because we've been helping our members get jobs while educating them. And we decided we're going to do this as a group, and we're going to start leveraging our nationally licensed doctors in getting better rates, negotiating more flexibility. And that's been successful as well. We didn't hit a year yet. We're almost at a year, and we're doing very well with that too. And a lot of our members are part of our staffing company too.
So if you guys could fill in,
Mike, since,
go ahead.
Sorry, Mike, since you came up with the idea for AIR, we give you credit, 110 doctors we've trained so far. Amazing.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you guys can reference the episode where we get into that. And thank you for adding my small part in helping you get to where AIR Academy is. In a nutshell, what is AIR Physician Academy? Because I know it's evolved. It's probably changed maybe in terms of direction. So what type of physicians should be interested in AIR Academy?
So Elite Academy, this is the one that's been ongoing for almost 2 years now. This is for the physician who wants more out of not just telemedicine, but out of life, out of their, they want to be more fulfilled. It's not just about clinical telemedicine, which we do. We do go over the clinical aspects of telemedicine, but that's the first part of it. The second part of the academy, and it's a 6-month course, is where we start going into the business aspect and how to do other things more than just being a clinician, but being on the administrative side, looking at trying to get equity, being a part owner or a full owner. If you want to start a digital health company, going things like concierge care, doing some things that maybe you didn't know of before. I think in exposing to that and really taking what you like out of that and running with it. So if you just want to do telemedicine, say as a side gig, or you just want to get your feet wet, you just want to do it in addition to your brick and mortar for just convenience sake, then maybe the Elite Academy is not for you. And you might want to consider our new course that we're in the beta of, which is the launch program. That's where we'll teach you more the compliance and the clinical thing. But for the elite folks, you really want to go all in, and you have this amazing community of folks, including you, Mike, that teaching people different aspects of telemedicine. And Mike, I know you're the business guy. We have the 1099 tax doctor, Eric, who teaches people how to get the LLC, make it into S Corp. We have a concierge specialist. We have NP collaborator specialist. We have people who, members who created businesses who are now coming on as coaches. So we got a lot of those types of things for the elite guys.
Yeah, I'm glad that, as I said, it's evolved. Before it was just like, hey, let's help physicians get multi-state licenses. And it's really evolved as, wow, to manage all these licenses, you're going to need a little bit of help. I know you help them through virtual assistants. You help manage third parties, helping them brand themselves. So it's really evolved as like, when I think most doctors realize is that it is a business for them. It's like their own business that they're starting with. So what are the other misconceptions you think physicians have about telemedicine today? Either one of you.
I think the two major misconceptions, one, that there's no fulfillment possible, and two, that there's no money in it. Both of them are just flat out wrong. There is a lot of opportunity to have a really good stable income and potentially even increase your income. And there is a lot of opportunity to get into really exciting new jobs.
It's not a misconception on the income part, because I think it is the truth for a lot of these folks. There are many people doing telemedicine and they're not doing it for themselves or to benefit themselves. They're working with their employer to add telemedicine and they're not getting paid as much. Maybe they get to stay home and they have a little bit of flexibility there, but I think for a lot of those people, it is true that they're not getting paid as much, or there's not as much fulfillment. But again, the way we do it, where we diversify, we look for other better deals, sometimes off-market deals, or we negotiate as a group. That's where I think we can get paid more than, at the very least, the same amount as people are getting, if not more. And things you leverage, like your licenses. If you leverage your licenses, the community, people in a different network, that's when I think you can really go far with telemedicine.
America spends more on healthcare than any other country, yet we rank 48th in life expectancy. We spend trillions, but 200,000 insured people still declare medical bankruptcy every year. Clearly, the system is broken. But what if there was a way to take back control, to break free from inflated costs and red tape? That's exactly what Crowd Health was created, a smarter, more transparent way to pay for healthcare. No middlemen, no bureaucracy, just a community helping each other when it matters most. Join the revolution. Go to joincrowdhealth.com and use promo code BootstrapMD for a discount on your first 3 months. Because your health should be in your hands, not theirs.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part of it too, not to interrupt Sam, but is that community. Because as someone who is starting telemedicine, and there's a lot of different companies on there. Some are excellent, amazing companies, and others maybe not so amazing. And it's helpful when you have a group of physicians realizing that we can share information, we can trust each other. When going out alone, you don't really know. You don't know much about these companies. And I think that transparency is really what helps other doctors move forward in their telemedicine journey. Sorry, Sunir. Didn't mean to interrupt.
That's actually, I was going to touch on the community aspect as well. I think the other misconception is that if you're going to go and transition into telemedicine, you're going to be on your own. And most people don't want to leave their team or the people that they work with. They like going to work and they like seeing people. And they're afraid that in telemedicine, you're going to be in your basement in a dark cave and working by yourself without any interaction with the outside world. And the way we've made it with Air Academy is everybody like hangs out with each other. They get advice from each other. We go on retreats together. We go to conferences and we meet each other. And everybody is really invested in each other's success. There's the old way, I feel like physicians are super competitive with each other. I think that's ingrained in us from med school. Our group is not like that. If you need help, someone's going to help you.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a really short example of it is, even for myself, who's delving into telemedicine, I don't do it full bore like everyone else is. I'm with a few companies, and there was this one ASIN company, and as text expander software is very important tool for telemedicine doctors on there. And he says, hey, I have a list of templates, that I've put throughout the years that I've been with this company. And he says, I'll just share with you guys. I'm not going to have time to do it out all myself. He's already has the different templates.
Yep.
And those are just a very simple example of the power of community. So when it comes to time to multiple state licenses, because for those who are new to this, it really is, I've been a game changer in telemedicine. Most people don't think about getting multiple state licenses. Why do you think it's such a big opportunity for most doctors, for all doctors?
I can give you an example. When I had just 5 state licenses when I first started, and I was working a few national platforms, and I remember thinking, I want this to be a great side gig. I want to see 5 to 10 patients, urgent care patients per day. And then I had this quota in mind, and I'll make a certain dollar amount. And with 5 state licenses, it was really hard to get on these virtual queues to see that amount of patients. Sometimes I'll see 5 right away because they'll be in their virtual queue, their virtual wait list. And other times it took me all day. I just have to open my laptop and check to see if there's anybody in the queue, anybody needing some urgent care. And as I got more licenses, I realized not only can I do that with the companies that I was already with, but I could negotiate higher rates. I could then work for different companies as a 1099 contractor, and I'll have a bunch of queues, and I can take care of different types of patients. I could be more niche. I could focus on, say, right now, the big thing is weight management. Say if I wanted to focus on weight management or longevity care, I can go to those companies and I can take care of people from across the country. And because they're niche, if you're just working in 1 or 2 states, you're not going to be able to see as many patients. Whereas if you are working nationally, you're always going to have patients to see. So I think even from that standpoint, it might cost a little bit more money to get 1, 2, 5 licenses, and not so much with the IMLC, but there is that cost. But I think you'll easily make up for that with the time flexibility and to be able to see more patients in general.
What do you think is the biggest hurdle for some doctors who are listening to this? They've got 1 license. We all started out with 1 license. What is like the biggest hurdle or perceived hurdle that you see when you talk to doctors? I can't even imagine getting 50 plus licenses. Maybe you can help them to understand that process.
Yeah, I think most doctors envision themselves filling out paperwork for every single license, going to get fingerprints, and just like they get blocked from that. But instead of doing it on your own, the better way to do it is you hire someone, a licensing specialist, to help you with that. And they get everything coordinated. They have personal relationships at the medical boards. If there is a problem with your application, they're your first line of defense. They're picking the phone up. You're not picking up the phone unless you need to. Sometimes you need to make the call. But for the most part, they take a lot of the administrative burden off your plate. And they're just better at it than you. Like they get things done much more efficiently than you. I think that's one misconception. The other is that CME is really tough to handle. It takes a little bit of work, but there's software and platforms out there that help you with that. Honestly, I probably spend an hour a month on CME, making sure that I have it all buttoned up and all my requirements are on track.
I get questions from about telemedicine, and a lot of these are the questions I'm giving you is ones that I've been asked about. So we have a lot, I think one misconception is most people think this is for ER docs or this is for primary care doctors, but that could be further from the truth. Can you tell us maybe some of the specialists that are in the academy right now that are doing well with telemedicine?
Yeah, we have a handful of specialists. And it's funny, I think just recently I was telling Sunir and a group of folks that I would argue that our specialists and subspecialists are more successful in the long term compared to our generalists. Now, our generalists have an easier time initially finding jobs and being a little more adventurous in finding different type of niche care at the beginning. That said, these startups that are looking for panel members, advisors and things are looking at the specialists. So things like women's health right now is very big. HRT, perimenopausal care, and fertility. They're looking for panelists who are specialists in this. They're looking for women's health specialists and speakers too. We have one OBGYN physician member who is nationally speaking, doing presentations now. I think those are the ones that are getting more leadership roles. So it might be a different type of work that they're doing, but overall, I think they may be more fulfilled in the long run doing other types of things. I don't know. That's how I was feeling the last month or so. I'm looking at all of our specialists recently. I'm like, huh, they're like really successful in different ways.
Yep. I think that it's very easy for a generalist to have a speed of success in telemedicine because there's a lot of opportunities out there for a generalist. I think the specialists do well. The speed of success is not as rapid as a generalist, but the peak of success, at least if we're talking about income, is going to be higher for the specialist because there are a lot less specialists out there doing telemedicine. So it's simple supply demand. If you're a nationally licensed specialist, eventually you're going to do really well.
So let's talk about the telemedicine landscape, because even the year that, you know, Air Academy or year plus that Air Academy has been on, we've seen a big change in telemedicine these days. And as doctors, we're concerned about our careers. We're seeing how medicine is going. We're seeing declining reimbursements. What are you seeing in the telemedicine space? Because you guys are on the ground floor. You're seeing it on both ends, not only with education, but also leading a staffing company. Maybe you can share some insights for those doctors who are ready to dip their toe into this field.
Recently, we were thinking about capping at a higher amount of members in our elite course, because a lot of them are going into our staffing company. And it's interesting. I think recently we realized that we may start bottlenecking at the physician level on our end as well, even though we have the most nationally licensed physicians in the country right now with our staffing company. And so just a handful of our physicians can do the work of several more doctors. But that said, even we feel that we may be bottlenecking soon. I think there's no shortage of jobs out there, and it's just getting more and more crazy with different type of niche care and how most companies are just moving to telemedicine, even the brick and mortar ones. And so I think that it's just going to get more and more. There's going to be much more jobs. There's already a lot of jobs out there that we can't staff.
Mike, I think that there's a misconception also amongst physicians out there about how telemedicine is paid for. Now, most people think of it as like insurance-based and Medicare and Medicaid, and there's declining reimbursements and there's new regulations and potentially CMS isn't going to cover telemedicine anymore. There's always these fears. But about the vast majority of stuff that we work with is companies who operate with cash pay. They're funded by private equity, VCs that want to disrupt the traditional healthcare system and try to find areas of inefficiency in the traditional healthcare system to expand access to people who aren't actually getting the care that they need. Yeah, and like Takashi mentioned, there's a lot of niche care opportunities, whether that be like sexual health, HIV prep, longevity medicine, weight loss medicine, women's health. There's I think a lot of there's a lot of growth. I view it as most people come into, most doctors I talk to are worried about contracting opportunities in telemedicine, whereas I view it as a blue ocean. I think there's so much opportunity out there.
Yeah, and I think as we see, our antiquated medicine model just doesn't make any sense anymore. Times of you need to schedule an appointment with a doctor, you need to drive over there, you need to go to the clinic, you need to wait in a waiting room just so your doctor can go over your labs for 5 minutes, and then you got home, and then you've wasted a few hours, right, of your time. And my wife was just talking, we were just talking about telemedicine, and there are different types of telemedicine companies out there. And she says, why is there? And she's like, why is it? Because consumers, we need telemedicine. Everything else is on the phone these days. Everything, information is on the phone. Why are we going back to the brick and mortar? And there's a place, don't get me wrong. I own a brick and mortar clinic, and there's a place and time for it. But a lot of the things that we're doing can be handled through an internet connection. Now that you have the statistics with 110 or plus physicians, maybe you talk about that too, because when I was growing up when I was in medical school umpteenth years ago, I thought I'd be working for a company for 30 plus years, one company. That's not the case with a typical telemedicine physician. Do you have any statistics like how many telemedicine companies average doctor works in Air Academy?
Oh, we try to get doctors to work between 5 and 7 contracts at one time. We treat our work as independent contractors or consulting physicians for these companies, like a portfolio. And you know my story, Mike. When I worked in the ER and was a W-2 physician during the pandemic, they cut my shifts by 40%, and that impacted my family's income dramatically. I don't think I'll ever work for one person ever again. And I think it's very important to mitigate your risk by having multiple streams of income. And that's what we advocate for in our academies. We try to get everyone somewhere between 5 and 7 contracts.
And so I get a little bit of the reasoning about that. So is it just because you feel that the telemedicine companies, many of them are in their startup phase and maybe they're branching out, or is there something else to that, having 5 to 7 companies?
I also think it gives you maximum flexibility of working when you want to work. Because if you're working for a company and there's no patients to be seen, then you can work for another company. Of your 7 contracts, you're going to have some patients to be seen. So, you know, I think it helps give me more flexibility, give us more flexibility. I also do think it's like exactly what you said, Mike. There are companies out there that are going to switch from physicians to all NPs, or startups that aren't going to work, or there is going to be, I don't know, Tash, do you have another example of why we want to mitigate that risk? I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, no, it's about diversity. If you have one W-2 and that company goes bankrupt, then you're done. And it's happened to many of us doctors during COVID. With having multiple contracts and independent contractor, which you can do, you're really just hedging there. Know that if one startup doesn't do well, then you have these other companies that you can be working for. If one changes their payment model and you don't like that, you can still work for other companies. Or doesn't, and if there's some that change their schedule model, or then all of a sudden ask you to work overnight or work weekends, you don't have to if you have other contracts, and you can just walk away from those types of contracts. But it really is about just hedging, and making sure that you can have a long career in telemedicine. I would never recommend working for just one 1099 gig.
And I also think too, you know, the nature of the company. For example, I work with a company that just primarily does weight loss. And as at the time of the recording, there's a lot of controversy and turmoil in GLP-1s right now on there. Administration's telling us one thing, we will need to see. And I also think too, it, like you said, it helps diversify your day too. If you're just doing GLP-1s, I love GLP-1s, but sometimes I like working with my hormone patients. I like working with primary care. So there's lots of different opportunities on there. And maybe we can also talk about the way that you get paid, because there's different types of ways that you can get paid as a telemedicine doctor. You want to share that?
Yeah, there's what we call Uber style, and that's really per consultation payments. So if you see a patient, you get paid for that consult. If you don't, get paid at all. And so that will depend on how many patients you can see within the day. There are hourly wages that people have. So whether you see 0 or 5 patients during that hour, you get paid. The way that I recommend some other ways to get paid. And one would be to be on call for a company. So you can do some kind of a retainer system. And that works if you have a lot of licenses. So that's one way you can leverage your licenses. Say if you're nationally licensed and there was a contract that's been already a couple of years since I've had it. I negotiated just to have 10 consultations at maximum per month, and they'd pay me a retainer for that. As long as when they needed me, I could get to that, we call it SLA, service level agreement, I could get to that patient within 30 minutes, then I would fulfill that contract. And they paid a lot of money just to be a backup physician for them across the country. So I do that type of payment. You can also have people pay you for your potential time. Say if you want to be a fractional director, medical director, or an advisor, you're going to be in some of the meetings, but also you just have a little bit of time set aside. Say I'm going to be available for that company for 5 hours. You can contact me if you'd like for anything that comes up urgently. So just for that availability, you have people pay you monthly for that. So there's other ways to get paid. Any other ways off the top of your head, Sunir? Those are the ways I like getting paid.
Yeah. So there's, like you said, per interaction, hourly, on call, getting paid a retainer, but that's just clinical. But then there's leadership, getting paid stipends for being a medical director, getting a stipend or getting paid for being an owner of a medical group. There's also like advisory roles where you can get equity potential in there where you're not seeing patients. So yeah, there's tons of ways to get paid in the digital health landscape. And when we're talking about 7 different contracts that we recommend you having, we also recommend 7 different payment models. Like, it all blends together. It works well.
Finally, I want to end with just maybe you guys could share either 1 or 2 success stories of Air Academy now that you've had 100 plus. I see you guys are smiling because that's the best part of it.
It is.
It was helping. Stories.
Helping doctors.
It's been the best part. I think we have so many success stories. I think the most recent one that I think of is we have a hospitalist who was doing locums, and he joined our academy and was working in our, like, working to learn in our academy, thinking that he had a long time to transition out of hospitalist care and into telemedicine. He called the hospital he was working for, and they did not have any shifts for him the following month. He called us up in a panic. He said, should I find another locums opportunity or should I dive in all into telemedicine? And we basically told him to dive in all into telemedicine. And 4 months after starting our program, he replaced his clinical income and just all in telemedicine. So we helped him basically navigate a very difficult scenario very quickly. Takashi, you got one?
Last week was our last session for our cohort 3 elite members, and a lot of them really enjoyed the community. And one even said that even though it's virtual, they feel like this was the best community. It's even an even better community virtually with AIR than it had been at her Kaiser gig, where she worked at the brick and mortar with her people daily.
We'll edit that name of that company, but
yeah, so that to me was really special because we do have a really special community where everyone helps each other. And so to have many of our members say that the community is better than they've ever had as a physician in their career, that was really special to us.
Yep. It was awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. And then I know we covered a little bit briefly. Can you tell us about the 2 different programs you offer? You said the launch and as well as the Elite Academy.
So with launch, that is for clinicians who want to dip their toe into telemedicine and see what a career in telemedicine could be like. And we try to go over what you need to know about being a clinician in telemedicine, whether it be website manner or regulations. It's a self-guided course. We do have an occasional monthly office hours, and you can also be a part of a Slack community as well. The Elite course, you come out after 6 months with a sophisticated understanding of what the digital health landscape looks like. I think that you can walk into any company and become a leader. You can become an entrepreneur and start your own telemedicine company. You'll learn all the vocabulary you need to really be successful in this space. And you also are surrounded by 100, now it'll be 150 doctors that are really trying to help each other out. I view it more as not a course, but more of an incubator or accelerator where everybody really wants to get everybody else successful. It will definitely have more of a community feel than the launch course will.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. Again, thank you for taking the time. I know you guys have been really busy. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. And if for those who are listening on here, if this sounds like you, we're setting up a landing page. I'm an affiliate for it. I'm just full transparency for Air Academy, but I'm also a faculty member. So I work for these guys too. So I believe in what they do. And so if you're interested in any of their programs, we're going to set up a page at bootstrapmd.com/air, A-I-R. And that'll just allow us to track that and to make sure we get you, you're interested, we get you into the right places. They're going to take care of you guys and tell you more about it. Sunir, Takashi, thank you for so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. And thank you for listening. As always, an entrepreneur, you're going to have your ups and downs, but do something a little each day. Find a mentor if you want to get into telemedicine. Find people who are already doing it and just keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now, let's get to work.